And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verse 21. We'll start reading Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 34. I titled this sermon, The Day the Devil Went to the Church. The Day the Devil Went to Church. And I got news for you. He's still coming to church. Amen. Verse 21 says, Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught, talking about Jesus. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Isn't it amazing that the devil recognized Jesus, but the religious people didn't? But Jesus rebuked him, rebuked the evil spirit, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately his fame spread through all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon is Peter. We know him as Peter. Simon Peter. With James and John. But Peter's wife's mother, that's his mother-in-law, laid sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we're looking for a word from you. God, we know one word from you will change our lives forever. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. As we have exalted you and lifted up the name of Jesus, we know, Lord, that you are here in this house. And Father, just like you went to the synagogue, Father, and you did great and mighty things, Lord, we pray today that as you have come into this house, God, that you would do great and mighty things in this house. God, I pray that you would meet the unmet needs, God. Meet the needs of these folks. Father, may the peace of the Lord Jesus rest upon them. But may their hearts be filled with hope and joy as we just talk about your word, as we lift up the name of Christ. God, I pray, Lord, that you would do mighty miracles in this house today. God, we believe, Lord, that you still have that authority. You still have that power. Lord, that your hand is not short. We know that your love is not short. God, you love us. You want to do good for us. So, God, we give you this service today. God, there's no ego. There's no agenda. Father, we just want your will more than anything else in life. We want you. John said, I must decrease, that he must increase. God, I pray today that that would be our heart's prayer today. God, help us as our own person. Help us as ourself to decrease, that the Spirit of God would increase in our life. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, they said, we've never heard anybody like this. This is a man who teaches with authority. He's not like the scribes. He's not just telling us something. This guy has authority. In other words, they knew that the authority of heaven was operating in this man's life, which was a big deal for them to admit that, because they did not recognize him as the Son of God. They still just thought he was a regular guy, maybe a prophet. Something was different about him. But he was amazing them because they just didn't have him in the right category. Does that make sense? They just saw Jesus as a man. As long as you just see Jesus as a man, he will not accomplish the things in your life that he wants to accomplish. You see, there is none like him. There's none like Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God that came to earth, died for your sins, and we leave this one off so often, and rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, there's power and authority so that you can live too. The day the devil went to church, you know, as I read this story this last week, I thought, how long had that old evil spirit been sitting in that church? You know, we know that he was there that week, but I wonder how many years he had been going to that same church. You know, we look back and we think, well, yeah, boy, they were putting up with that, wasn't they? And I'm wondering today, what kind of evil spirit is here today? I thought you might get quiet on that. What did you bring in with you? Now, I'm not suggesting that you're demon-possessed, but I do know one thing. Satan likes to afflict us with different spirits. You see, the Bible talks about fear, and he identifies it as the spirit of fear. That's not a spirit from God, that's a spirit from the devil. And many Christian people walk in the spirit of fear, not recognizing that Satan's got a hold on your life. But there's also many, many other things. There's anger. There's outburst, there's wrath, there's unforgiveness, there's lustful thoughts. There's people in the house of God that are addicted to pornography. You know, I think it's interesting that sometimes Christians recognize our need for God, and once we give our heart to God, we feel like everything is done. Well, you know, I surrendered my heart, I made him Lord, I asked him to be a Savior. Now I must be complete. Are you kidding me? You got the rest of your life to keep climbing that spiritual ladder and keep. I am so thankful that the Holy Ghost doesn't tell you the moment you get saved all the things that are wrong with you. It would overwhelm you and depress you. I one time, after I'd been saved for about 30 years, the Lord came to me and began to talk to me about something. And I remember this conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, I've been doing that all my life. And he says, yes, I know. Well, why didn't you tell me years ago? Because you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it. I wonder, what are you tolerating in your life today? What have you deemed as normal that the Holy Spirit says that's not normal for a believer? You see, that power and authority that Jesus taught in the synagogue, you have it today. He said, all power is given to you. Right? We have the delegated authority and power of God flowing in our life. Are you utilizing it? As long as you tolerate things, you will keep them. I remember I told this story this morning, but told this story to you before, but Treva and I, with our three little kids in the back seat, were headed to church one day, and in front of us was a car, and we were watching them, and they were discussing things rather expressively. They were pointing fingers at each other, and boy, you could see them just and they were fighting with each other, and before long, she reached over and cold-cocked him. Bam! I mean, she just hit him. And the fight was on. I mean, they started throwing fists like this and was hitting. And we're sitting in our car just watching. We're just following. Like, oh, my goodness, look at that. And the thing that surprised us the most is they pulled into the same church parking lot as we did. Yeah. We were going to the same church. And they got out of church and they got out of their car and they straightened their clothes. They put their hair back. They got their composure and they walked into church like everything was okay. Now that's a little extreme, but we do the same. We do the same. How often have you got in a fight with your wife or your children on the way to church? I can tell you, we led song service for 25 years, and if we were going to fight that week, it was probably going to be right before we went to church. I can't tell you how many times I stood on the pulpit before I was leading song service and saying, "Jesus, forgive me, and forgive that woman of mine too, Jesus." Aren't you thankful that Jesus loves you enough that He doesn't leave you in the condition He finds you? See, Jesus didn't go demon hunting. Jesus didn't call that man out. That demon called Jesus out. "What are you doing? What have you come to upset us? Why are you here, Son of God?" They reckon Jesus had to make him be quiet because he didn't want a demon telling the people who he was. So he made him quiet. But I'm thankful that love motivates Jesus to change us. And if you think salvation is the only change, you've got a lot to learn. There's a lot of things that Jesus wants to change about us. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." Do you realize that when you got saved, Jesus made you a son of God? You are his child. Now, think about your children. How much you love them. What wouldn't you do for your children? It's a very short list what you wouldn't do for your kids. You will go way far out of your way to help your children. And God will do the same. God does not want you to live the life that you are living. He wants to clean it up. And I don't care. I've been saved for 50 years. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is still working on me, and I'm thankful He is. The people couldn't reconcile the power of God that they saw demonstrated. They couldn't figure it out. What is this? This guy is commanding demons to come out, and they're listening to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Word of God says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." I don't think we quite understand that. I think we all know that verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We sing songs like that, there's liberty. And for some reason in the church, we think that liberty is to live our life the way we want to live it. That's not the liberty that God is talking about. God doesn't set you free from sin to watch you go back into it. God sets you free from sin, not so you can live your own life, but that you can live the life that He has chosen for you. That's the freedom of God, to do the things that you cannot do in your flesh. You don't even know the plan God has for you. I'll guarantee you, I don't know it. God is revealing it to us. We go from glory to glory. The closer you get to Him, the brighter it gets. The more He reveals His plan to you, so much probably greater than what we think. As He leaves the synagogue, Treva and I was there in Capernaum a few years ago. We actually, this site has been uncovered. And so we could walk into where the synagogue was. Part of the walls were standing. And as you leave the synagogue, you literally are probably closer than that garage back here to Peter's house. Peter's house was also uncovered. So when it says he left the synagogue and went into Peter's house, it was not a long distance. It was 30 seconds and they would be there. He goes into Peter's house and the first thing he hears, "Hey, Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. She's in bed. She's not doing well." And Jesus didn't just nod. He said, "Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me." He didn't do what many of us would do. "Well, God bless her. You know, I'll pray for her." And then we leave and never pray for her. Jesus stopped what he was doing. There was no greater agenda at that moment than touching this woman. Jesus goes into the bed where she's goes into the bedroom. Excuse me. Goes into the bedroom where this lady is at. Prays for her. Immediately the fever is gone. The Bible says she gets up and begins to serve them. And those two stories right there, we find out that demons are subject to him and sicknesses also. He delivered one man from a demonic spirit and another woman from sickness. My Bible tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever you tolerate, you'll keep. You hear me? That's the words the Lord gave me this week. Whatever you tolerate, you're going to keep. You're going to live with it. I can't tell you how many people have told me they've got a bad temper because they're Irish. Like, is all of Ireland bad-tempered folks? Bad-tempered drunks. Right? That's usually what you see portrayed on TV. And, well, we all know Hollywood is accurate, right? Whatever you tolerate. The Bible says don't make provision for your flesh. And we do it all the time. We do it. See, I got a bad temper because that's the way I was. My dad irritated me so much, he just made me bad-tempered. Well, see, I got a bad mouth because I grew up in a house of bad mouths. The reason I don't have a good marriage is because I never saw a good marriage. This is just normal life for us. This is the way we act. This is the Kelleher way. Well, guess what? Let me put this as gently as I can. Everything comes behind you being Christian. If you're black, you're not more black than you're Christian. If you're white, you're not more white than you're Christian. Americans comes behind Christian. Christian is more powerful in our life than any other identity. We are to be, and I'm so sorry we have weakened this word, but Christian means Christ-like. Am I Christ-like? In other words, do the people that I work with see Jesus in me? Do they want what I have? Has anybody ever sought you out and said, I've watched your life, I've seen you go through difficulty, and I've seen the power of God in your life? That's the testimony that we want. Let me tell you, being a Christian doesn't mean exempt from problems. Oftentimes it means you're going to have a few extra problems. What it does mean is you have the power of God flowing in your life. 2 Corinthians 4:7, you have in this fragile vessel the power of God in you. Do you understand the Holy Ghost? The God of heaven, the creator of this universe, resides in you. Can I say that's an untapped power? Why? Because we're going through life in humanity. We're going through life in our human power, not in the power of God. We act, we talk, we do like we're unredeemed. But we are redeemed. The Bible talks about fear when he's talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he calls it something very specific. He calls it the spirit of fear. He doesn't call it a character. He says it's a spirit. I cannot tell you in the last 8 months or so how many Christians that I have seen walking around in the spirit of fear. How many have I seen with the spirit of anger? Say, Pastor, you start to preach like that, don't you? I'm not mad, I promise you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're tolerating less than God's best. God wants to deliver you. Do you know that I believe with all my heart you can walk You can walk out these doors free in Jesus' name. Whatever spirit has tried to cling to you today, it can be gone before this service is over. You'll surrender it to Him. This lady jumps up and begins to serve the disciples. We have freedom from demons. We have freedom from sickness. And it says that same evening, the townspeople heard that Jesus was in the house. Hey, did you hear that Jesus is over in Peter's house? He's healed his mother-in-law and he set somebody free from that demonic spirit today. I think I'm going over to see Jesus. And I'm taking Cousin Tom because Cousin Tom's been sick for 20 years. Well, my nephew's been sick for a long time. I think I'll take him. Well, my wife must be demon-possessed. I'll take her. She must have been if she married you. All of a sudden, people just started coming to the house. And Mark tells us that he healed some of them. But if you'll read the story in Matthew says he didn't heal some of them, he healed them all. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it's the very same story. Mark was being modest. Matthew told it how it is. He said he healed everyone. You see, I believe that when you come to Him, you get what you are believing for. I believe one of the problems with the church house today is people come not expecting anything. Well, maybe the song service will be good today. Maybe she'll sing the songs I like. The best you can hope for me is maybe he'll be short. And I can answer that. I ain't going to be. It ain't going to happen in this life. We come with no expectations. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He answers his question. Our Lord Jesus will deliver us from this body of death. Can I change one word? Can I change the word death? Can I say, who will deliver me from the body of bad habits? Who will deliver me from this bad attitude? Who will deliver me from this thing that has me bound? See, that is death. See, anything that has you bound is not God's best for you. You and I have allowed Satan entrance into our hearts and entrance into our minds. You have allowed, you know, the Bible talks about strongholds, that we can pull down strongholds. You know what strongholds are? It's thoughts that's been there for a long, long time. You know what your daddy or your mommy said about you really mattered? You know, my dad called me stupid most of my life. Growing up, you know what I thought? I thought I was stupid. Why? Because that's what I've been told. Jesus had to deliver me from those oppressive thoughts that he planted in me. Does that make sense? You see, people say things about you, and sometimes it's like an attachment. It just attaches to your soul. And God wants you to, your identity should be what He says, not what anyone else says. If you have went through a divorce, I promise you ugly things have been said about you. I promise you that if you're not careful, those things will attach to you. You'll believe that you're the loser that your spouse said you were. Well, I got news for you. God doesn't create junk. God didn't create losers. Satan wants to make you think a loser. You're a loser. Why? Because he probably knows more about the plan of God for your life than you know. And he never wants you to reach your potential. Because if you reach your potential, you're going to damage the kingdom of hell. That's good preaching. I want you to know I wrote this down yesterday and then someone almost quoted it to me last night. Evil is stoppable. The evil in your home is stoppable. The evil in you is stoppable. But the church is unstoppable. You are the church. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about the people of God. The people of God are unstoppable. When they understand the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost that's within them. We have believed a lie from hell and we're being damned every day of our life. Release us from that lie. Let us believe the truth of who we are. We are an unstoppable people. We can change our environment. What we need is a Holy Ghost revival. And I'm not talking about anything any one of us have seen. I'm talking about a revival that is sovereign, that God does. When the people get hungry for a move of God and begin to pray and begin to seek heaven and begin to be humble before Him, quit putting their hope in a man or a political party. Start putting your hope in God, then God will move. The Word of God says He'll heal our land. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let's stop right there for a second. I want to correct some theology. Chapter 11 in Hebrews is the chapter before chapter 12. I know that's rocket science, so some of you... It always, 11 always comes before 12. Chapter 11 is talking about all the great people of God. We sometimes call it the hall of faith, right? And he's saying, he just talked about chapter 11, all these people, and then he says, you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about these folks. These people that have lived the life, they are a witness to us that we are unstoppable, that we can win. He is not talking about people in heaven looking down on us today. See, we sometimes get our theology from country songs. It's not a good place to get your biblical theology. There's a country song that says there's holes in the floor of heaven and people are looking down on your life. I can promise you that's not true. First of all, it's not in the Word of God. But second of all, if they could see the chaos of our life, there would be problems in heaven. There wouldn't be a fullness of joy. They'd be worried about you. They cannot see you. But they are a cloud of witnesses because they made it. There are certain people that have been in your life that God allowed to come in your life so they would inspire you. I think of Sister Jessie Haynes. She inspires me because she's a bulldog in the faith. She understands her confession. She's a woman that's ridden with problems, but she will not give up. And if you've ever had her pray with you or for you, you know that little lady is mighty. She is a part of the cloud of witnesses. There's others in our life that they testify of the goodness of God and the unstoppable power of the Holy Ghost. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that verse says? Jesus won. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and He won. And because He won, you can win. So He says, let's lay aside every weight and sin. Now we know what sin is, right? It's that thing we enjoy. Come on, Christians. You're acting way too holy today. Yeah, we enjoy sin. The Bible says sin is enjoyable for a moment, and then for a season, then after that there's a judgment. Let me tell you, the payday for the sin that you are tolerating is far greater than what you can imagine. So he's saying, let's get away, let's get rid of this sin. And I think most of us in the house probably have dealt with a lot of the sins of our life. But the word that we don't understand is the weight. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. Do you know weight can be good things? It can be things that are not bad. But when you place them before God, it becomes a weight to your Christian journey. I love my children with all my heart. But my children are not my God. They don't come before Him. I love this church, but this church is not my God. And it doesn't come before Him. You may enjoy golf, and there's nothing wrong with golf. There's nothing wrong with watching baseball or football. But if it starts coming before God, that's a problem. Eating can be a weight. If your eating gets out of control, then you need to surrender that to the Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father, you are with me. I'm preaching to myself now. Right? Am I preaching to you right? It can be a weight. The Bible talks about the cares of this life. What's it say? It says it choke off the Word of God. You mean, is it wrong to care that my yard is mowed? That my bills are paid on time? That I go to work? That I do the right things? Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's right. But it can get wrong when you begin to place that before God. If anything is more important than Jesus Christ, Matthew 6:33 is the verse that comes back to me over and over and over and over. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, I think it's really that simple. As long as I keep seeking the kingdom first, everything else He will add to my life. In other words, if I was young, I don't seek a woman. I seek Him. He'll bring you the woman He has for you. Now, can I say, that used to be taught 40 years ago in the house of God, but it's not taught any longer. The church dates just like the world does. We got a problem. We have allowed the world to get inside our church. Isaiah chapter 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They that what? Wait. When's the last time you heard a Pentecostal preacher or any preacher saying, we need to tarry on the Holy Ghost? We don't say it anymore. We treat God like we treat McDonald's. God, I'm coming through the drive-thru. I want a double cheese Mac, whatever. I want large fries and a sweet tea, and I want it in 30 seconds. Jesus, I want my life to change. I want you to deliver me from this, and you got 15 seconds to do it. And God says, when you get serious with me, I'll get serious with you, son. That's good. We need to lay aside some things because there's so many more things important in life than chasing after the almighty dollar, chasing after a skirt, and doing your own thing. Guys, we don't understand how much stuff is laden in our life, junk, that God wants to deliver us from. God wants you to get rid of the bad tempers, of the bad language, of the evil thoughts. He wants to deliver you from that. He wants you to be free, just like that demon-possessed man was set free. And I'm in no way suggesting that you're demon-possessed. I'm just saying we are tolerating things that are straight from the pit of hell that God wants to deliver us from. You may be thinking, well, this is normal to me. This is the way I grew up. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm not real bright, but I didn't want that for my life. The way I grew up, mom and dad fighting every day of my life, I thought I wanted no part of that. Things were thrown, people were hit, a lot of bad language every day. My mother didn't speak bad. My stepdad did. I think I told you last week when I preached for my brother, someone come up and said, I didn't know your mother. She must have been some kind of woman. I said, she was. She was a woman that loved Jesus with all her heart. She wanted her sons to do the same. She paid a price for it. Zephaniah, the prophet, he says, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. Do you understand that? You see, when Christy and I get together, whether it be in church or whether it be in Walmart, the Spirit of God is right there. Why? Because I have Him in me. Christy has Him in her. Do you understand the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of you? It's because you bring Him with you. See, when we get together, God is here. We may not recognize it and we may not feel it. And Pentecostal people are the worst of going by feelings and not fact. The fact is the Word of God says He's here, so He's here. I don't care if you feel it or not. He's here. He's mighty. He's able to change you today if you allow Him. Jeremiah said this. He said, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. God, will you help me control my mouth? Well, that's too hard for me, son. You think God would say that?
No.
Okay. Son, I've reached my potential with you. You've tapped me out, boy. No. Nothing is too hard for Him. See, Satan will tell you you're beyond help. God can't even help you. And I just want you to know that's a lie from the pit of hell. I may be talking to somebody on that camera today. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are not beyond help. Jesus will help you today. He'll break that off. Isaiah 40, I already quoted part of it. But he says, He gives power to the weak. Can you just raise your hands for a second? Says, that's me. That's me. I'm weak. I am the weak. But guess what? The Bible says, let the weak say they're strong. I'm not strong in myself, but I'm strong in the power of Jesus. You're mighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes this. He said, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Eric, what's that mean? We trust man more than we trust God. We'll go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, to a doctor, to a specialist, to a chiropractor, before we go to God. Let me just say this. Some of you have come to me, a preacher, say, fix me. And I'm polite. I won't say I can't do it. There ain't no hope for you. I'll do my best. But guess what? Don't rely upon man. A psychiatrist is not going to fix you. A psychologist is not going to fix you. They may medicate you. But the things we need is not medication. We need the power of God in our life. Amen. In the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? Why'd they say that? Because they kept hearing Him pray. They kept hearing Jesus pray to His Father. And they basically were saying, can you teach me how to do that? There's something when I pray and when you pray, Jesus, it ain't the same. Can you teach me how to pray? There's just one part of that prayer I want to tell you today. Jesus said this, when you pray, say this. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from evil. Who was He speaking to? His disciples. it is totally possible that you can be born again and have something evil in you. Why do Christians get divorced as much as the world and even a little more? Because there's evil at work within us. Why do we go through the same struggles as everyone else? Because there's evil within us. Jesus wants to deliver you from the trap of the evil one. He wants you to be free. Not free to live the way you want, but free to live the what He has called you to live. I don't know what is in your life today, but if you'll remember the title of this sermon, The Day the Devil Went to Church, I don't know what you brought in with you. What are you tolerating? What are you tolerating? See, as long as you tolerate it, you're going to keep it. Until you get sick and tired of the devil beating you up every day, and you put a stop to that, then God will come in. You already have the power and the authority within you to defeat the enemy. We have to apply it. We have to allow Him to clean this vessel. Right? Can we take our mask off? Can we say, humbly before the Lord, I'm a long way from perfect. I wonder if Jesus was here in person, how much repenting would go on right now? Just from looking into the face of God, how much would you see mirror into your own soul? I got a feeling that His very presence would drive us to our knees. But the Bible says that we are to look like Him. We are to become like Him. That's a long way off for most of us. You can leave this place exactly the way you came in, or you can leave different. And I don't know about you, but probably every one of us need to leave a little different. There's something that you need to leave at the altar today. Don't take the devil home with you. I got a feeling there's going to be husbands left at the door. Maybe you got a bad attitude. Maybe you got a bad temper. Maybe you got an addiction to something perverted. Do you realize He can deliver you from that? Not only can He will if you allow Him. Would you stand with me? I open the altars in the morning service, and I'm going to open the altar right now. And that just means if you want to step out of your seat and just come and stand here, come and kneel here. I don't know what it is about walking to the altar, but it's like God sees that movement. God sees that you're making an effort to draw near to Him. So maybe it's symbolic, but there's something that happens when you come to the altar. The altar is a place of death and sacrifice. You're not coming up here to satisfy me or to impress anyone in this church. If you come up here, you're coming up here to die. There's something in you that you recognize. Let me say it this way. There's something in you that the Holy Spirit has recognized that's not of God. You're not a bad person, but Satan is having his way in one area of your life. Maybe you're defeated in your thoughts and He wants to give you the victory. We're going to close our eyes and Trevor's going to lead us in a prayer. If you'd like to come and surrender, the altar is open. Just spend a few time, a few moments of prayer before the Lord.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Defense and my righteousness.